And let us turn in God's Word to Acts chapter 4 as we continue looking at the very early church in the time after the ascension of Christ. We're reminded that what God is doing in the church at the time and continues to do is by the power of His Holy Spirit making them witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so let us hear together God's word as we see what Jesus promised, that they would be persecuted. So let us hear together God's word, Acts chapter 4, the first 31 verses. Now after they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, and being greatly disturbed, that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed the notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are Lord who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said," excuse me, "why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we've just looked in Belgic Confession Article 7 at the sufficiency of Scripture. And as we consider Scripture, we look this morning as well at Acts chapter 4. And what do the disciples say? John and Peter answered, whether, verse 19, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, to God, you judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Brothers and sisters, as we consider, what do we believe? What do we live as Christians? And we need to see the Word of God and the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God to salvation. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which men must be saved. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ, through faith in His name. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is Jesus' disciples disobey man's orders to preach salvation in Christ's name. Jesus' disciples disobey man's orders to preach salvation in Christ's name. In verses 1 through 12, we see that they were arrested for good deeds. In verses 13 through 22, we see that they are forbidden to speak in Jesus' name. And in verses 23 through 31, we see their prayer for boldness to speak. So first of all, the rulers take the disciples prisoners. They had just done a notable miracle in healing the lame man who had been begging at the beautiful gate for approximately 40 years of his life. But now, the priests, the captains of the temple, the Sadducees, came upon them. And what were they? They were greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. But as they come down, what do they address with the disciples? By what power did you do this? They're trying to get around the issue and say, we want you to point out and to stay away from the name of Jesus. And brothers and sisters, we have to understand that if we are truly standing for Christ in this world, there are going to be those who stand against us. We need to be very much not afraid of that fact. Sadly, we live in a culture where it's very much go along and get along. Notice Peter, by the power of the Spirit, does not go along and get along. Notice again, John and others of the disciples, by the power of the Spirit, were very clear about the problems and the need of the people they were speaking to, the need for them to believe on Jesus. You are guilty in this. Brothers and sisters, as we consider ourselves and as we consider the world around us, we as a modern church tend to be far too non-confrontational. Let's just all get together. It's okay. No, we need to stand firmly upon that sufficient word of God, the word of Almighty God of salvation. And so they're questioned about whose power heals. It came to pass the next day that the rulers, the elders, the scribes, all of these guys gathered together. And they set them in the midst, and they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? They were seated before a similar and possibly more fulsome jury than Jesus had sat before. So that's not intimidating at all. But one of the lessons we need to learn is we do not need to fear men. We need to speak God's word. We need to trust in His protection, not our own abilities to weasel our way out, talk our way out of a situation, but rather to speak the truth of God's word and to trust that He will protect us. Then Peter, verse 8, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and people, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, he stands in defense of their accusation. In verse 9, he says, if this day we are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It is about the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It is about the Savior. Their captors, he said, it says, so that you would be without excuse. Peter doesn't mince words. They're angry about him, angry about them pointing to Jesus for healing this man. And Peter says, yes, Jesus is the one. Jesus gives us hope. Not all of the stuff on earth is going to give us hope. Jesus gives us hope. I think of a situation I was told about in Eureka before I moved there. A man who had great money and great honor in the culture. Many of you probably know who he was, but that's neither here nor there. But anyway, he had cancer. There was nothing going to save him from that cancer. And he said to a friend in Eureka, he said, I would give this all up if I could live. The problem is he didn't have eternal life. And brothers and sisters, we have to realize that we think we can hold on to life here on this earth and have blessings here. What are we doing? We need eternal life. Nothing on this earth is going to satisfy like knowing where we are for eternity. Through Jesus Christ. And so Peter, by the power of the Spirit, replies to them straight up, Jesus. Jesus is the one who heals. Jesus is the one who saves. Very similar, by the way, if we look at this sermon or this interaction, Peter doesn't change tactics. You look at Acts chapter 2, you look at Acts chapter 3, you look at Acts chapter 4. The gospel is the same whether we're standing out and everybody's gathered together to hear what's going on because there's something weird going on, or whether we're in a courtroom. The gospel doesn't change. The message doesn't change. Jesus Christ is my hope. Jesus Christ is my salvation. When they are persecuting, it is about Christ. And he says, instead of being afraid for himself, he points to them with the danger of his captor's position. Instead of being intimidated, Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, rises to the occasion. Instead of fearing for their lives, Peter, in love, shows his captors the danger of their position. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other name, or any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other way. There is no other salvation. And you are seeking to silence that. You are in danger. And so, what do they react? Of course, that's going to draw attention, right? And so they tried to intimidate them. They had been identified as Galileans. But even when they tried to intimidate it, they weren't afraid. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. They attributed their strength and knowledge to having been with Jesus. But at the same time, they were prejudiced. They had prejudged against Jesus because it was about their power instead of about the truth. And so they were standing against him. And despite this notable miracle and seeing a man who had been healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. So what'd they do? Verse 15. They commanded them to go outside of the council, And they conferred among themselves. They spent their time. They said, we don't want to look at the results of the truth. We're going to make our decision without seeing that. And then they say, verse 16, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. This is going to be seen by all of Jerusalem. This is not just something that's going to stay in the temple. And so they say, so that it spreads no further, verse 17, among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. And they called them in, they commanded them not to speak, nor to teach at all in the name of Jesus. Did that work out for them so well? Well, first of all, how'd that work out for the disciples? Acts 5:28, we see them confronted. Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And the result? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. The gospel went out. And of course, as we read earlier again, it is impossible not to preach the gospel. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Again, eyewitness testimony of the gospel, of what Jesus did in Peter and John. And we have that laid down for us in Scripture so that we have the answer. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now go back. We read not long ago in Acts 1:8 what God was sending the Spirit, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Power by the Spirit to witness to Christ. And we see that writ large here, as Peter and John stand up. And notice it had previously often just been Peter. Now we see John standing up with him. And they are witnessing in Jerusalem. And of course, as we continue in future time in the book of Acts, we will see the gospel go out as God sends it out to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so the rulers' hands were tied. When they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. Notice that they were pointing to God, the glory of God. And what were the people doing? What were the rulers doing? You got to be quiet. These are the rulers who were supposed to represent God. And we have to be very, very careful as those who are in God's church, that we are seeking to spread God's gospel. Sadly, too often the church ties people's hands and intimidates them to say, no, we can't. We can. And God can and does and will use us. Again, we're reminded of how amazing this is. Verse 22, for the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. He had lived his whole life this way in front of the people of Jerusalem. Everyone going to the temple had seen him. And now they saw him walking and leaping and praising God. And brothers and sisters, we might say, well, what does this have to say to us? How does this work in our lives? Well, brothers and sisters, we have to realize that there are an awful lot of people who cannot walk in life because their lives are broken and messed up by sin and by understanding and feeling their lack of forgiveness, their need for a Savior, but they don't know where to go. Brothers and sisters, as we look at our culture, I think we fail to see how broken it is. We see and say, oh, they're a lot like us. Brothers and sisters, if we look past the first 10 millimeters, there are great differences of people living in horrifying situations. We think everyone else has a pretty normal life like ours. I think if we walk past the door of their houses, we will see that they don't. There's a mess. And it's because people are living according to man's ideas, ideas that are pushed by everyone but God's word. So much so, I mean, we can't even talk about mothers very much. Because what? It's not a mother anymore. We can't tell the difference between man and woman. Have you ever imagined what it's like to live in a house where that kind of thing's going on? To be brought up as a kid? Ah! Sorry, full body shiver. But talk to them. Understand what's going on. And then, as we think about what we have been given to have somewhat normal houses, and yes, all of our houses are broken, you know that. Everyone's got very great weirdness. No, but we are seeking to serve God and to follow His ways. And then you have a blessing when you have a mother and a father and parents that love their kids and try to raise them in normal manners and stuff like that. That's a huge blessing. But as we look at this, we have to understand that all of this goes back to the truth of God's word. That this stuff doesn't happen by accident. And this is directed by the Lord of the universe and through Jesus Christ. And so we can stand up in a world that wants to run away from anything normal. Just look around, listen. What they say is what they want. This is not, they're not joking. And so, brothers and sisters, look at what the disciples say. They realize that God is in control. They quote from Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers are gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. The nations stand and try to fight against God, against Christ. What does God do? You remember the next parts of Psalm 2? He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall judge them with a rod of iron. And so also here, and we have to understand that. I do not want to equivocate what's going on in our culture with what's going on with the denial of Christ here by these. But at the same time, we have to understand that all of this works together. All of this false teaching and craziness comes out of self-worship. What are the rulers doing? I need to be important. I need to rule. So that colors everything. Well, we have a whole culture that says, I'm important, me, me, me. And how do we answer that? We have a Savior who gave Himself. Our Savior didn't stand up on the top of the temple and say, me, me, me. Brothers and sisters, the gospel needs to go forth. They go to the disciples and pray. And they pray not to be further harassed, right? Let's just have a good, everybody get along, right? Is that what they prayed? First of all, they glorified God. So when they heard, verse 24, that they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David said, and we said Psalm 2, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. They have taken a stand, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, Both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. Verse 28, to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. They trusted God's direction. They said, God, you do what you determine is best, what you determine is right. And they prayed, continuing verse 29, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with boldness they may speak your word. They didn't pray to go along and get along. They prayed for boldness to speak the truth of God's word, to speak the truth of God's word to a culture that was against them, that was raging against the Lord and against his Christ. And they said, we trust you. Your hand, your purpose have determined before to be done. That with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They said, send out your word and verify your word, that it is really your word. As we've said, that's what miracles were there for. Miracles were to verify that this is God's word. And God sent, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. God shakes the place. I would say this is an aftershock of Pentecost. And they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke. Well, what did they speak? You know, you hear some churches say, well, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got to speak in tongues. No. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, what did they speak? The word of God with boldness. God sent out his word. What did we say? Going back to Acts chapter 1, what were the disciples and what is God's church to do? By the power of the Holy Spirit? To be witnesses. To witness to Christ. From Jerusalem to the chief priests here, to Judea and Samaria, to the local area, and God sends out his word to the ends of the earth. And brothers and sisters, God calls us to pray for boldness, to speak his word, that we wouldn't hide and say, God, I just want to live an easy life, but to stand with the gospel, to love those who persecute, to address their issues and their needs. Remember what Jesus did from the cross. He loved. We so often, life gets hard, stay away from me, I'm grumpy. No, Jesus loved. And we, by God's Spirit, are called to love those who persecute. And Jesus said, as we talked about on Ascension Day, Thursday, there's going to be persecution. It's not a question. So brothers and sisters, don't be surprised and don't be afraid. If we are truly standing up for God's word, there are going to be those who stand against us. But brothers and sisters, God, by his power, by his Spirit, sends forth his word. As we read a couple of chapters later in chapter 5, you have filled this whole city with this teaching, with the gospel. Hallelujah! Would that God fill Manitowoc and Sheboygan with the gospel. That God would send forth his word out of here to the ends of the earth. Not just for social truth, but for the far more important truth of salvation, saving souls, eternal souls. That God would use us, that God would use me to do that. How awesome would that be? And God can do that. As we look at the Old Testament, we need to be reminded that yes, there is a time to stand to the battle, but God is the one who has already won the victory. And so, brothers and sisters, let us stand to the battle with the truth of the gospel, in love even for those who would persecute, showing them their own danger. Because God is awesome in salvation. And we see that here. And we see that actually a fair number of these who had stood against also turned historically by the power of God's Spirit. God can and will change hearts. So, brothers and sisters, what's the answer when we're scared of persecution? Hide? Or pray for boldness and trust in the Lord? Amen. Let us rise, let us bow before our God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, gracious Heavenly Father, we do pray for boldness to speak your word. We pray, Lord, help us to be ready and willing. Help us not to seek to hide where no one would cause trouble. But Lord, give us your word. Help us as we read and as we study your word to be used to speak a word in season and out of season. Use us, Lord, that you would be glorified. We pray, Lord, for our communities, for our local neighborhoods. Send forth your gospel. Use us. And we pray, Lord, send forth your gospel to the ends of the earth. Again, using us. You can. We know that you can. Give us wisdom in ways. Give us direction. We pray, Lord, looking to your hand for the glory and for the honor of your name. For we pray this in Jesus' name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.